In the last mission here in Perek Daled, I will say, excuse me. Hu haya omer, hayilodim lomos, vahamesim lichyos, vahachayim lidon, leida ulahudia lehivada. So what does that mean? Masha ama leida ulahudia lehivada, kavanosu bazah sheyedu elu sheyivaldu. Meaning the first series of phrases describes three classes of people. The first are those not yet born. The second is ve'ele shehem ata yiludim, those who are us, right? Those who are alive now. And the third class is ve'ele sheyichyu la'acha hamavos, those who are already in the olam haneshamos, who will be resurrected with tchias ha'mesim. So the Tana then employs the Shoresh of Yoda in three different forms, Kedei Lichlol Asayadiya L'Shalash HaKitos Ha'ilo. That all of these three classes of people should know, Shehu HaYotze V'Hu HaBore, V'Hu HaMeivin, V'Hu HaDayon, V'hu aid, v'hu baldin, v'hu asid lidam. What does that mean? The Rambam says, "Umash amar v'hu dayan, v'hu asid lidam." Kavanasa b'zeh shehu hadon ata es hakol b'chayim u'b'mavis u'b'shor inyane ha'olam. V'hu gam kein asid ladon es eile sheyiyu sheyichyu ba'achris b'gmul u'b'onash. And there will be another Yom HaDin, in addition to the Yom HaDin that is experienced in this world, there'll be another Yom HaDin when Tchias HaMesim happens. The Rambam doesn't mention that in Chas Tshuva when he tells us about Yemei HaDin. Okay, it's not okay. Umasha Amma, the mission continues, She'en fun of lo avla v'lo shichach v'lo maso upon v'lo makach shalchad v'lo mikach shalchad she'akol shalo v'lo mikach shalchad, says the Rambam, K'mo she'amma gam b'tora she'lo yisafonim v'lo yikach shalchad. Ein in yono she'enu notal momon umates adin. Kishtusi lishlomi menu yisala mashalo yitsuya filibidinyon echi nosin lo shochad umayia shochad. Ella in yono masha biaru sheenu lokeach shochad atovos. We can't bribe the Rebbe Shalom with mitzvahs. Even with a mitzvah, you can't bribe the Rebbe Shalom. That's the currency that we're talking about. What might one have thought? Kigon sheyasa ha'odom. Elif tovos v'ra'a achas. Ein menaka lo yis'ala osa ha'aveira me'rov tovosav v'yachshuv lo elif tovos pachos tova. We don't say, well, when you balance the books, so you know that there was $1,000 of income and there was only $10 of expenses, so he has $990 in the bank. No, he has two different accounts. There's an account of mitzvahs and there's an account of one that's not of aveira. So in the form of menu al zu, meaning the one aveira, the kabel schar al elu, the mitzvahs, in the example that Rambam gave. V'zeu inyan lo yikach shochar. V'hu kemo lo yisafonim, which is similar. Ella yisafonim means ella nifa min hagodol b'mayla al kol shehu. K'moshe nifa mi'moshe rabbeinu ba'avon hakas k'fi shebe'anu b'pakim shehukdemo v'gomel le'esav ha'rosha al kibbet al ve'em v'vuchad netzal k'var Hashem. So it doesn't matter how much of a tzaddik a person is, din applies to him. It doesn't matter how much of a Rasha a person is. Din applies to him in the sense that he'll get schar for something good that he does. What's a little bit tzarchi, and I'm not sure what to do with it, but the Lashon here seems to suggest, the Rambam says, v'hukim aliyisa fonim ela nifra min hagadol b'mayla, someone who's a gadol b'mayla, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nifra for him al kol shehu, even on a kol shehu. Now, again, that kishala atzmo is something that we understand, right? Usviva of nisara ma'od, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medaktek im ha-tzadikim kuchot ha-sayra, that the greater the person, so then the expectations are adjusted accordingly. And what for us wouldn't be considered a chait, for a great person would be considered a chait. So the idea kishala atzma we're familiar with. But sort of to mention that idea and then illustrate it with kemosha nifra, Mimosha Rabbeinu Ba'avon HaKas, I don't know, is that really an Ovam culture? You know, Kol HaKoyes is Kilo Ovar Avodah Zarah V'chulu, the Ma'amar Chazal, that the Rambam quotes in Perek Beis of Deyos. So that's what's Tzarech Kiyun here. Unless you say, I'm not sure whether this sits well in the Lashon. I'm not sure, but unless you suggest, the Rambam obviously is the first one to teach us to take midos very, very seriously. But that a person over the course of his entire lifetime should get angry once and pay the price that Moshe Rabbeinu does of not being able to enter Eretz Yisrael, so that's what illustrates the Rambam's klal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nifa min hagadol b'mayla al kol shehu. I mean, Eino Chanami, Avon HaKas, is not a kol shehu, but if you look in the context of a life span of 120 years, and you can count on the fingers of one hand instances of veering away from the from the Halachta Bedrachov, of kas, so l'chora in the context of a life of 120 years, A, maybe in that sense it's a kol shehu, B, it certainly seems like a kol shehu when you measure it, when we measure it against the din that was nigzar all of. I think we spoke a little bit about this in a different context. Then when we spoke a little bit about, I think we spoke about Og and Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Mekaber Tzchar Kol Bei Uvirya. Lefi Pshuto, again, there is room to say differently, but Lefi Pshuto, Esa Varosha, engage in kibud avim because he had an instinct for kibud avim. He wasn't doing it l'shem mitzvah. And again, as we saw, Og Melech HaBashan Alachas Kama V'Kama had no such intention. And afal pichein, we see that there is schar. So the Pashto says, again, one has to know exactly the pratim of how to apply this. But in terms of the mitzvah alachta v'drachav, so we're supposed to be appreciative and makir tova for what people do for us, even without doing drisha v'chkira and bedikas as to the kavanas. Yeah, you get an Amazon delivery. So you're going to start clarifying, well, is he doing it because he wants me to have the food? Well, he's doing it because he wants the paycheck. And the maestro, the only way he's going to get the paycheck is if he delivers me the food. No. He's a million times better than Og Melech HaBoshim. Again, if one happens to see the individual, could be you don't see him, could be he's just left at the doorstep. But if you see him, so I thank you without compromising on health protocols. A thank you is certainly warranted. A person shouldn't let his yetzer hara tell them that he can escape accountability in the grave. Sha'al kochacha ata notza, va'al kochacha ata nolad, va'al kochacha ata chai, va'al kochacha ata meis, va'al kochacha ata osalita and din v'cheshbon, lifnei melech malchei emlochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does the Rambam say? His bonin ba'omer shal kochacha ata nolad ubehemshech lazeh shehiske inyanim tivim she'en la'odim bechira b'hem. All these happen involuntarily. Sha'aleihem omim hakovid eshamayim. V'lo omer, but the Tana doesn't say shal kochacha ata chote o ata over o mahalech o omed v'chadom lazeh. L'fisha kol elu inyanim shebiyat ha'odim v'eno muchach b'hem. There is no coercion. There is no predeterminism. Kemosha be'yad v'parak hashmini. So I think we spoke a little bit about this also. The scope of what's nichlal in Yir HaShamayim in this Maim HaChazal is very broad. Right? It doesn't say shal kochacha ata mahalech or omeid. No, if I decide to go for a walk, I decide to go for a jog, that was my bechira. It's not only if I decide to eat matzo, if a person decides to eat nevelas or treifas, that's his bechira. Once we have a principle of b'chol drachecha da'ehu, so then everything that a person does, everything that's discretionary in a person's life, is pertinent to and therefore subsumed under Yiras Shamayim. Why did the Tana, the Tana wants to impress upon us, don't think that death is an escape from accountability. So all he had to say is that that death isn't the end, death is a transition, and there's a din v'cheshbon. Why does he give the whole arichas of al kochacha ata notza, al kochacha ata nolad? I mean, all that is true, but how is it relevant to what the Tana wants to tell us? I'm not sure. The Rambam doesn't seem to be commenting on it. But maybe as follows. Maybe the al kochacha ato notza and al kochacha ato nola and al kochacha ato chai. Maybe it doesn't only mean, you know, that we weren't consulted as to whether or not we wanted to become a fetus that was formed in utero, and we weren't consulted whether we wanted to be born. It obviously does mean that, but maybe it means more than that. Maybe what it means is that the mahus of a person is that a person is a being with accountability. That's what it means to be a person. From the very first moment, from the al kochacha to notzar, your notzar as such. When the fetus first begins, and that's a fetus which is on track to be, again, a one who is accountable. The Rebbe Elazar's view, right? Famously, there's a Machlokes Tanoim in Rosh Hashanah, whether or not B'Tishrei Nivra Olam or B'Nisan Nivra Olam, we at least partially, even though in other contexts we operate with Rabbi Yeshua, we partially in our tefillas reflect the view of Rebbe Elazar, Hayom Haras Olam, that we say in the Rosh Hashanah Shemana Esrei. So what's the significance of that B'Tishrei Nivra Olam? Tishrei is the time of Din V'Cheshbon. So B'Tishrei Nivra Olam means, no, a person is created. That's his essence. The essence of the person is. It's not something that's sort of superimposed upon him. It's not something that all of a sudden, out of the blue, La'acha Misa, oh wow, there's a Din V'Cheshbon. No, that's from the get-go. That's the Al-Kochach, it's all one continuum. I know. Okay, maybe we'll go a little bit to Paragimel in a sec. Paragimel is Aleph. Hakamim Mahalal Lomer, Hestaka B'Toshu Dvam V'Enetu Bali De'Aver, Dami Ayin Bosa, Ula Ayin Atoholech, I'm again reading the text as it's printed here in the Rambam's Parish of Mishnayos. Me'ayin bosa milecha serucha ula'ana taholech l'mkomimah v'soleh v'lifne mi'ya ato osa l'din din v'cheshbon l'ifne melech malachim l'ochem godesh baruch hu. So clearly, what Akavi ben Mahalalel is guiding us, he's guiding us on a path to avoid Avera, to avoid all Avera, right? Okay, let's see the Rambam here. Ha-histaklus hazos, meaning the initial histaklus of Dami Ayin Bosa, me'viyah so'odim lidei anova. Be'hizbona no me'ayin bo. Like, how can a person feel arrogant? Okay, so... maybe it's easiest to visualize a later stage. I don't know. So we were all infants, helpless, cared for by our parents, changing our diapers, feeding us. So how can a person who has such roots, how can he be mizgoyer? V'histaklusa achrisa ulo'ana taholech tivi'eyu lidei zilzol b'kinyon ha'olam hazeh. Again, that's the moshel we gave the other day. If I know that I'm only going to be in a rental temporarily for 2 weeks, I'm not going to sink in $75,000 to improve the apartment because I can't take it with me. So I'm not interested in creating or acquiring what I can't take with me. I'm going to be in a certain country for 2 days, and they have a law that you can't take any money out of the country. I'm not going to bother trying to amass any riches in that country. V'histaklusa b'gedulas hametzave, right? The third of lifnei miyata osa l'itendin v'chedron tivi'eyu lidei zrizus l'kayim mitzvasa. V'kasher yusku shloshes hadvarim halolu lo yechta klal. So here, a similar question to the question we just posed at the end of Parag Dalet. Why isn't it enough of lifnei mi ato asa litan din v'cheshbon? And l'chor, that should keep us on the straight and narrow. If a person is tempted to cheat on a test, and when he walks into the room, you show him where there are cameras, and the cameras are at every possible angle. It's impossible for him to do something that won't be captured on the camera. So what's he going to do? He's not going to cheat. It doesn't matter how much he wants to cheat. It doesn't matter whether he has any scruples which would prevent him from cheating, but he knows he's not going to get away with it. So why isn't the lift of me at to us elite and didn't the cheshbon enough? And even if we need to be mitzarefu ana taholech, why do we have to go all the way back to me'ayin bosa? So here, there's a tremendous insight that Akavi ben Mahalalel is providing. Often what we encounter, when you look around, you can see it by following the news. So often we see, let's say, Rahman al-Islam, the horrible toll that the virus has taken in nursing homes. In general, the lack of oversight in nursing homes. So I understand totally. People are selfish. They're not concerned with the elderly. But what seems to be the height of irrationality is, what do people think? That they're all Peter Pan and they're all going to remain young forever? And I'm going to be 20 forever, so it's not relevant to me how society takes care of its elderly. I'm 20 years old. What's it got to do with me? Maybe I'm 40 years old, but still, what's it got to do with me? But if a person wants to live a long life, everyone does. So just out of self-interest, people should be tremendously concerned with how society deals with the elderly. And obviously that tremendous concern is not present, is lacking. So how does one understand it? Forget morality, forget altruism, forget goodness, just self-interest. Right now I'm 20 or 40, but I hope not to die at age 45. So how can I not be totally invested in how society deals with the elderly? How can people park their parent or parents in a nursing home and go visit one day a year on Mother's Day or Father's Day? Why don't they just have reason for themselves? What do they want their kids to do with them when they get old? But people don't think that way. Why don't people think that way? Here's the point I will say. Because a person can be so selfish and so self-centered that he doesn't even think about himself at a future stage. You hear the word? A person can be so selfish and the self-centeredness can be such that I'm so preoccupied with myself, with my present self, that I can't even be mischashev with the me in 10, 20, 30, or 40 years from now. And that's what we see. There are lots of young people who don't care about old people. In so doing, they're acting against their own self-interest, and they can't focus on that because the self-centeredness is so great that they can, not only don't they think beyond their Dalai-lamas, they can't think beyond themselves. They can't think beyond themselves in the present. So Akavya Mahalala says, I know I can give all kinds of good advice, but Lamaisa, first you got to break the gaiva. If I can't break the gaiva, no other thoughts are going to stick. People are not going to focus on other thoughts. The first thing I got to do, Akavya Mahalala says, for people is cut through that gaiva. Once that gaiva is pierced, so then a person is capable of thought. Oh, he's capable of thought. So now we can tell him what to focus on. And the emes is, even when the gaiva is broken, the allure of Olam Hazeh can have that same numbing effect. The allure of, oh, I'll have a big house, I'll have the biggest house on the block. That allure also, just if a person gets caught in that, it doesn't let him think. So the answer to that question is, yeah, Enoch Hanami, logically, if we could focus on that's enough. You don't need anything else. That's enough to keep us on the straight and narrow. But the point is that Akavya Mahalala says it's not so realistic to think that a person is going to be able to do that without first piercing the gaiva, without first freeing his mind from the incessant preoccupation with Inyanei Olam Hazeh.
The Rambam doesn't comment.
Says the Rambam, where do you see that the definition here, where do you see the definition of Moshe Leitzin? You see, Ashrei Ha'ish, praiseworthy, is the person who doesn't spend time in a Moshe Leitzin. How do you see what the definition of Moshe Leitzin is? But Ayaso, Al Shemoshe Leitzin, Nikra Kol Moshe Shem Medabim Bo B'Mandas HaTorah, Hi Misof HaPosok, She'omar, Ki Im Besaros Hashem Cheftzo, Ki Ilu Omar, that the antithesis, right? He rejects the Moshe Leitzim because Keilu Omar came and Shayachevta B'Tavas Hashem LeYashav Ben Moshe Leitzim. Why not? Why can't I learn there? No, because obviously the definition of a Moshe Leitzim is Asher Ein B'Tavas Hashem. Avos Shnayim Shahoyu Yoshven VeOskim B'Tavas is the Mishnah Shchina Imoen Shneimo Az Nidbu Yirei Hashem Isha VeEyu VeYakshav Hashem VeYishma Uminayim LeEchved SheYoshev VeDoresh. Keilu kiyem esator shnema yeshav bodod v'yidom ki natal olach. What does the Rambam say? Perish v'yidom min hadibur b'dmama min omer d'mama daka. This is very interesting. Generally, we translate v'yidom as to be silent. And the Rambam says, no, sometimes it means to talk quietly. It doesn't mean absolute silence. Maybe it means that a person is talking so quietly that it's inaudible. Maybe that's sort of the semantics of how the word is being used. Umizeh pirish atagum vayidom Aaron v'shabach Aaron. Aaron HaKohen after Nov ben Aviyu died. So Aaron, he said the bracha of Dayan Emes. He said the bracha of Dina Emes. V'shabach Aaron. Either the pasuk says Vayidom. No. So Vayidom can mean that a person speaks
very quietly. Uba ayaso al shahu kamisha nosa olav is kola Torah. Min amil natal olav ki ilu kol matan Torah olav bilvad. Yeshev bodur b'yidum. He's sitting alone and he's learning quietly. So we view it as kinatal olav. That he's accepted the entire Torah upon himself. This is a very big yesod. Very big yesod. You know, like Baruch Hashem, you have she'ifas in learning. To learn, finish masachdas. To learn, finish Shulchan Aruch, to learn, finish Sifrei Machshava. And sometimes that Yetzer HaTov can be hijacked by the Yetzer Hara, where we try to do too much, too quickly at once. So a person needs to sort of reassure himself. But I don't understand, how can I, I'm learning Psachim, that's very nice, but I'm neglecting Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaSukkah, and Yevamos and Eng Tzuvos. So this mission is a good reminder. Why is it that it's Ke'ilu Kiyem Es HaTorah? Because he's doing as much as he possibly can for Kol HaTorah Kulo. At this moment, when a person's learning a Mishnah, we're learning a Mishnah of this, you can't learn more than one Mishnah at one time. We're doing the most we can vis-a-vis Kol HaTorah Kulo. We're implementing, we're acting on our commitment to aspire to learning Kol HaTorah Kulo. So Mimela, Minayim Le'echad She'yoshev V'dorish Ki'il Ki'im Es HaTorah, Shenema Yeshev Bodo V'idom Ki Notal Olav. Maybe we'll stop here and we'll say. Okay, everyone should have a very good, productive, wet day. Be well, be safe, and we'll say.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi. Have a good day.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Rabbi,
thank you.
Can I ask a question, please?
Yes.
Hi.
You're muted.
Yeah, okay. Is there a... any reason, any difference about just the Rambam there? I remember seeing some in Talmud Torah that he says you should learn out loud, but like someone who doesn't learn out loud will forget his learning, and the Gemara speaks about it. So why are we being v'yidom? Why are we being so quiet while we're learning? How is that?
Right. So I don't know. You're right, but which way does the Diya go? Does the Diya go that, you know, he's not doing it very loudly, or does the Diya go, but on the other hand, you see that he's not simply, you know, silently reading with his eyes. You know, maybe the diak, I think here in the Machon HaMa'ol, Parish Timshayas to the Rambam, in the notes, I think that they take your diak in the opposite direction. Could also be that if what we suggested in terms of Yidom, that Yidom really means to be silent. So how does it mean to talk quietly? It means to talk when it's inaudible. Right, so then, as far as I'm concerned, I can't hear you, so you're being quiet. Then, hashalasim lohachi, it could be that this Rambam, that the pasuk doesn't even really mean that he's learning so quietly, because the maaseh it's describing someone who's yeshev bodur, right? So he's sitting alone. There's no one else in the Beis Medrash at this time. So it could be that at that point you would describe, no matter how loudly he's learning, you would describe it as Yeshev Bodur V'Yidom. Because the Yidom doesn't so much mean talk softly the way we suggested, it means not to be audible to others. And when you're alone, so then it doesn't give us any indication of how softly or loudly the person is learning.
What was the Diyuk the other way? The Diyuk that the Machon HaMa'or said?
No, so the Machon HaMa'or was being medayik. So you see that it has to be kol. The Rambam is, you know, looking for kol, that the person should be motzi bepeh, you know, as opposed to just.
Okay. I had one other question from earlier in the Rambam, where we were saying that if you can, it's not just 1,000 mitzvahs and one avera. It's you can't just cancel them out. So does that mean we should like cheshbon? Like, let's say we should like go back through our past and just be like, okay, what thing did I not do tshuva personally for each thing individually? If you've made like big changes overall, then there's like overall changes. You have to like go medayek in every single thing. You have to think out all the little things that you went through.
And I don't think that there's a chiyuv to, well, let's say I'm doing tshuva for a certain midah. So obviously that midah probably has expressed itself, many times. But mistama, when you do tshuva for that midah, so you're doing tshuva for everything which resulted from that midah. If it was a ben adam l'chavero, I'm doing tshuva for the midah of anger. And in anger, I yelled at you. Okay, so then I take a need to try to remember that and ask mechila. But leaving aside that application, I don't know if there's a chiyuv to do that.